Well, as you can see, the song of invitation is 3:50. We're not quite ready to sing that just yet, but we will be shortly. And the title of this particular presentation that I have, you may have noticed, and it had three words. It had blame with a question mark or belief. And as we look back at the scriptures that were put together, there was a point that I was hoping to make, that I was hoping to stress, that I was hoping to help us focus on. And that point was one that would be very current in today's world. And the reason that I say that is that we engage with probably 99.999% of people who do not accept, understand, believe, or comprehend the proper way to worship God. There may be individuals who claim to be a Christian. There may be individuals who go to church. There may be individuals who don't go to church but believe in something spiritual, on and on and on. But hardly any of them truly understand, appreciate, or respect our role compared to God's role. And so often in this world, men will focus in on themselves, sometimes directly, sometimes indirectly, but at the end of the day, it's still all about them. What they have, what they're seeking to have, what they believe that they should have, what they believe that they shouldn't have, what they don't want, what they don't think is fair, on and on and on. And that guides their thoughts, their actions, their behaviors. And yet the title here was Blame or Belief. And what am I trying to say by that? Well, hopefully it's not me saying it. It's what the Bible is clearly speaking about what our role is supposed to be, no matter what. No matter what we encounter or experience in our life. One of the things that I hope was somewhat evident as we look back at the scriptures that were referenced, and starting off with Leviticus 10, 1 through 11, was speaking about Aaron. Now we know about Nadab and Abihu's foolishness. And we know that it cost them their lives immediately. And we focus on their unscriptural behavior, their lawless behavior, and the consequences of that behavior. And they're evident right there in front of us. But what I don't want to overlook is that they were still Aaron's sons. And he was not expecting them before they went in there to die. He was not expecting them to conduct themselves in an unrighteous manner. He was not expecting them to violate what he, I'm sure, had clearly taught them they were supposed to do. But the loss was still immediate. His sons were gone. But what's powerful, almost as powerful as the correction that God is showing there, is the attitude that Aaron was told to have. If you're paying, look at those scriptures again, you don't see Aaron blaming God. But you will see people in the world. Something happens, something bad, and these are people who may not be consistent in their appreciation of God. They may not even acknowledge Him on a daily basis. But let something bad happen, and watch how quick that famous sentence, well, if there was a God, why did He, and then fill in the blanks. And that can be a situation where you're looking to come back, and hopefully these scriptures that we are looking at here will convey a very consistent message. Because if you look at Judges 11:30-40, that Floyd was so kind to read, the story of Jephthah, I promise you that Jephthah was not expecting to have to sacrifice his daughter, as the scriptures talk about. And regardless of how that sacrifice manifested itself, it was not something he was looking to do. And yet his attitude toward God was what? One of obedience and submission. He conducted himself the way God would have expected him to conduct himself. In the world, it's flipped. And God is incredibly patient with so many in the world who foolishly look at him as though he were the cause of their particular pain. I'm not going to go to church because. I don't believe in God because. I don't think this is right that God did this because. How dare they? But yet, that happens on a consistent basis. And these scriptures show the attitudes that were displayed by those who did it the right way. If you look at Ruth, look at Ruth's story. She leaves with her husband and her two sons. You know the time period that she lived in. She was dependent upon her husband. And then he died. But she still had two sons who married. And so she still had somewhat of a support program in place. And then both of those sons died as well, leaving her no husband, no sons, two new daughters that until she'd even got to that country, she didn't even know who they were. And while Naomi was hurt, she sought to return to her people. Return to who? The people of God. The attitude that she displayed and that she conveyed to her daughter-in-law, Ruth, wound up being critical in the lineage of Christ himself because of the proper attitude that was displayed. When you talk about an attitude, though, how can you overlook King David, as we talked about in 2 Samuel chapter 12? We know what he did, as Keith so excellently set up for you, talking about his sin, the sin of adultery with Bathsheba, the sin of murder with Uriah, just out of control behavior. And God decided that to show the wrath that the child would die. And we saw David's attitude throughout, pleading with God to spare the child's life. And yet when the child's life ended, what did David do? We saw what he did. We see his attitude. We see his conduct. Now, he continued to pay a price for that until the end of his life. But what we don't see is a rejection of God, which is what we encounter when we leave this building. How can we help people understand? How can we share with people what they should do in terms of dealing with God if they incur an unexpected loss? Unexpected loss is difficult. Unexpected loss can cause your life to turn completely upside down. In my life, in my immediate life, I've been pretty well blessed that I haven't had to confront that. But I can tell you that in my family, on more than one occasion, unexpected loss has hit and has hit hard. My father, who died in 2015, when he was 2 years old, his mother died of a ruptured tubal pregnancy. So he never knew his mother. He was only 2 years old. And then subsequent to that, he lost two sisters to tuberculosis before either of them reached their 21st birthday. My sister, my younger sister, Denise, she was about to deliver her son, Mitchell, about 22 years ago. And she went to the hospital to deliver Mitchell, and everything was going fine until it wasn't. The placenta came loose, emergency surgery, they got Mitchell out, but the time that Mitchell was separated from my sister because of the placenta break ultimately proved too much for him to overcome, and he only lived for 5 days. Those are devastating, unexpected losses. But we've seen unexpected losses chronicled here in the Bible. And what we need to take from this is what God expects from us and how we should react. As Jason read in 2 Kings 4:17-28, the woman lost her son after she had engaged with Elisha. She knew he was a man of God. She was old when she had him, if you read the entire story. He wasn't expected to even exist. And he was a blessing. And then to lose him like that, who did she go back to? Do you see her blaming God? No, you don't. And the result is what God blessed her with. But you talk about the right attitude toward God. Consider what Alan read from the book of Job. Not once, but twice, Job was mentioned as not speaking ill against the Lord. We should know the story of Job very well. We should know how, as he continued to suffer, even his wife said famously, "Curse God and die." Job did not do that. What is that teaching us? What lesson should we take away from that instruction? And we continue on in terms of what Jimbe read about Jairus and his daughter dying. And he had gone and pleaded with Christ to come, and Christ was held up with something else. But then he came to his house and he raised her from the dead. Do we want to blame God or do we want to believe in God? The widow's son that Jean read about, again, resurrected through the power of God. Do we want to blame him or do we want to believe in him? And of course, as Gabriel so excellently read, again about the story of Jairus. We live in a temporary world. We are temporary. This life will end. We conduct ourselves as we move through life. We have things that we care about that are important to us. But please don't let anything be more important to you than focusing on our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Please don't anything be more important to you than submitting to Him and obeying His will. Satan wants us to get all wrapped up in the world and turn our eyes away from God and turn our eyes to this world and become emotionally entangled to the point that we don't see and think clearly. God gave us emotions, and we should use those judiciously and appropriately. But in the world, unfortunately, many, if not all, have allowed their emotional state to overwhelm them and blind them to the words of the Bible, the truths of the Bible, the lessons of the Bible, the power of the Bible, the strength of the Bible. God knows everything that has happened, is happening, and gonna happen. We need to focus on doing what He wants. He's our Father. We are His children. Are we going to submit our will to Him, or are we going to get caught up in blaming instead of believing? Don't let that happen. If you've turned your life over to Christ, you know how to do that. You pray for strength. If you sinned, you pray for forgiveness of strength. For forgiveness of sins. If you haven't put Christ on, obviously we have a baptistry right here, and you can be baptized and have your sins forgiven. But then once you've put Him on in baptism, once you've heard the word, believed, repented, and been baptized, you've got to live the life. However long you get. You might get 20 years, you might get 100. But they're just earth years. Eternity awaits. And so as we seek to do what's right in God's sight, as we seek to obey Him at all times, focus on that. Focus on believing in Him, being just focused on Him and loyal to Him, so that when this life ends, we can hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Whatever your needs might be, if you need to put Him on a baptism, if you need the prayers of the church, just need to refocus. Please do that now while we stand and while we sing.